Welcome to the Philadelphia branch of Lighthouse Chapel International, under the leadership of the Presiding Bishop Dag Hayward Mill. This denomination has grown with several branches all over the world. We are delighted to come your way with the anointed Word of God, which is able to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned with your heart to receive God's Word through His servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Our series on faith. Amen. Faith is a very, very, very important thing. I heard Kenneth Hagin once say that somebody asked him, why do you preach so much about faith? Every day, faith. Why do you preach so much? And his answer was very simple. And I believe that that's the best answer, because faith is the main thing. You can't do anything without faith. Hebrews 11:6. Let's look at our key verse again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11:6. If you are sitting by somebody, say, turn your Bible. We want to see you flip your Bible. Amen. It's good to have a Bible on a phone. Do you understand? But I also have a Bible on a tablet, a good big tablet. Something else. And moreover, have a Bible. These days, we are losing touch with a hard-covered Bible. Have a Bible that you can open and flip pages and look at real scriptures in a real book. So Hebrews 11:6 says that, but without faith, let's all say it together, but without faith. I want to hear you louder. Are you awake? Are you sure? All right, stand to your feet to help you wake up a little more. Amen. Say, but without faith. Let's all read the scripture again. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. All right, now you can sit. So God is reminding us here that it is impossible. When God says something is impossible, it means it's impossible. You cannot go around it. God is saying, without faith, that's why faith is very important. Amen. It means that you can try and have everything else, but if you don't have faith, it is impossible to, one, please him. You can't walk with God if you don't have faith. Hallelujah. And it's also so important because, you see, it's through faith that we are saved. How many of you here are saved? That one, you have to be sure. If you are not sure, you need to be saved before you leave church. Amen. It is impossible to be saved without faith. Because the Bible says that, for by faith, by grace are we saved. By grace are we saved through faith. Isn't it? It is through faith. Faith. Without faith, you cannot be saved. And it is through faith that we walk. Let me show you another quick scripture before we jump into the main thing. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. Galatians 3, 11. It says, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. Do you see? So, no man. You cannot be justified before God by the law. It is not because, you see, you are not saved because your last name is a Brown. You know, there are some very, you know, distinguished names. Browns, White, Eggman. You see, these are distinguished names in Africa. You see, or you're an Obama. You know, if you are called an Obama, your last name is Obama, it's a very distinguished name. You are not saved because you have a distinguished name or because you are from an elite family. You are not saved because you are so good. Yeah. Some people were born good and lived good and they've been good. You know, when we talk about certain things, they cannot even relate to it. You see, they've not been bad before. Do you understand? Yeah, some people have not been bad before. Who has been bad here before? Kwaku, have you been bad before? Moses, have you been bad before? I can't imagine you being bad. You see, as for Brother Kwame, the FDC has been bad before. I can know that he's been bad before. Because even now he can be bad to me. You know, when my wife traveled, and it's painful, pa. I came to church very early. And then he looked at me and said, Reverend, you are here early. I said, why? He said, why? He couldn't sleep. You see, when you look at Stanley, you can see that maybe I'm not too sure. Not, in fact, not has been bad before. Amen. You see, so we are not saved because we've been bad before. Do you see? In fact, some of us, it's we've not been bad because we didn't get the opportunity. Yeah. I mean, I was kind of a good boy right from my childhood. It's because of lack of opportunity. Yeah. Because sometimes my wife looks at me and says, hey, you this guy. In fact, if Christ hadn't saved you early, you would have been very, 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 very bad. And it's true. So it's a lack of opportunity. That's why we should not even look down on people who seem to have been bad. They stole their father's car. They drove their father's car. And, you know, when I was in secondary school back in Ghana, years ago, there was this guy who would go for his father's car, you see. And then he would when we're on the athletic field, you know, when it's the field that is dusty, you intentionally drive the car there. Do you understand? And they have this thing of opening the doors of the car. You see, then they'll drive fast and spin and then they'll screech and step on the brake and the car will rotate in a certain way. Then all the doors will close and everybody, yeah, you know, it's too powerful. And then there'll be dust like James Bond. You see, yeah, we didn't do that, but it's lack of opportunity. Because if my father, maybe I lived in a house that there were 3-4 cars parked, I probably would have stolen one and driven it like that. You see, so it's lack of, you should never look down on somebody that you think has been bad. Because in the first place, we are justified not by works, not by the law, not by what we did and what we did not do, right? But it is by faith. So it says, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. Then it says, the just shall live by faith. Wow. Let's all say it together. The just shall live by faith. Who are the just? Who are the just? Some of you are not sure. If you are justified and you are the just, just lift up your hand and say amen. Say, I'm justified. So God is saying here that we are justified and we live by faith. We live by faith. We breathe by faith, we eat by faith, we do everything. Our very sustenance, we are sustained by faith. That is why faith is very, very important. Somebody say amen. So last week, I started talking to you about the pillars of faith. The pillars of faith. Amen. Now, what is a pillar? A pillar is something that supports. Do you understand? It's a main structure that helps a building to stay up. When you cut off a pillar or you pull down a pillar, you basically bring down a building. So we are talking about the very things that make faith, faith. Without those things, faith will not stand. Are you understanding? So these are important pillars of faith. Turn to your neighbor again and say, these are important pillars of faith. I like you talking to each other because it helps us stay awake. Amen. Some of you, as soon as the preacher or the pastor turns into a teaching mode, you start sleeping. You want always a preaching mode, screaming, shouting. That's why sometimes I jump and stand on the chairs. Because some of you like preaching. But there's also a place for teaching. Teaching is gentle. It's slower. It's imparting. Amen. We have all changed and we have become what we are through teaching. Yeah, Felicia, you were taught to be a nurse. That is why you're a good nurse. Do you understand? I trust that if somebody was preaching you to be a nurse, you will not be a nurse today. Teaching makes things stick. It goes deeper. Amen. So some topics are teaching topics. So don't sleep on me. Are you understanding? We are talking about faith. It's very important. I'm telling you, we are in an era that if you don't have faith, you won't survive. I'm telling you. A time will come that it will, you need faith to even walk out of your house. Yeah. I like shooting. You know, sometimes I go to a shooting range. I'm a member of an outdoor shooting range. It's not on video, right? We're not live streaming. Don't live stream this one. And for example, when I go to the shooting range, I'm the only black African there. Everybody else is white. Sometimes I'm a little apprehensive. Yesterday, I wanted to just pass by and I bought a new, I haven't told my, I think she's gotten to know, a barrel that I changed one of my rifles, my gun to. I put a new barrel in, and I wanted to just go and shoot it. But as I was, I thought of it, and my heart said to me, don't go. I told my wife, I think I shouldn't go to the shooting range today. She said, why? I said, my heart says don't go. Why? Because I just felt don't go. I don't know what would have happened. But you don't know, you know, maybe some crazy man wants to end the year with a famous name. So I didn't go. But what I'm trying to show you is that you would need so much faith even to go somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. Some of you, without faith, you see that if you don't have faith, you will never leave America. Or you will never go to places that you need to fly to. It's not every place that you can drive. You can't drive to go and visit your mother or your father or your relatives in Africa. You will need to sit on a plane. You will need to go on a plane. Without faith, you can't. Hey, with all these things going on, and I'm telling you, it is going to get worse. It's one of the signs of the end times. There'll be fear. Fear will grip. Fear, are you listening to me? Fear is the opposite of faith. In fact, fear is a negative faith. Fear is actually faith. Where you are now in a status that now you believe so strongly in the negative that it makes you stagnant. You can't move. Are you understanding? So it is very important to develop your faith. And that is what we are trying to teach you. Teach you to develop your faith. So that when you meet crisis or you meet challenges or you meet a situation, not just even for yourself, but even sometimes for your loved ones, you'll be able to overcome it. Amen. I said amen. So we are talking about the pillars of faith, the thing that makes faith stand. All right. We started last week. And we said the first one is the integrity of God's word. You need to be in a place where you know for sure, and you are so sure. Tap your neighbor and say, are you so sure about the word of God? See, when we say integrity, we mean the reality and the completeness and the truth. And see, when you say somebody has integrity, you're saying that the person is honest. You understand? The person is what he says he is. The person is real. And this is a very important pillar of faith, because everything that is based on faith is based on God's word. You understand? So if you can't have or can't be in a place where you are so sure and you have grasped the integrity of God's word, you will not make it in faith. Amen. That's why the Bible says, I told you last week, that for faith cometh by hearing, isn't it? For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Wow. I said, wow. Let's say it together. Say, faith, it cometh, which means it comes, which means it comes, and it comes by hearing. Hearing. Continuously hearing. It means you hear it today. You hear it tomorrow. You hear it next week. You hear it on Monday. You hear it on Tuesday. Hearing means continuous. Yeah. And hearing by what? The word of God. It is hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The hearing comes through the word. Amen. You think about it. You see, for you to have faith, you need to hear what God says about something. For you to have faith in anybody, you need to have the person's integrity about what they have said. Are you understanding? Yeah. Let's take, for example, your husband or your wife or your father or your mother or somebody says to you that, look, I have put $20,000 on my desk or the first drawer on my right. All right? Get the key and go get it. You wouldn't have faith to go and do that. Get the key and go and open the drawer. By the way, there's no $20,000 in my drawer in the office, so don't even try going there. For you to go there, you must have or must have grasped the integrity of the word that is spoken to you. You have to believe it. You have to believe in the person. You have to see the person as being honest and sure that, look, if this guy says that there's $20,000 in the drawer, do you understand? Yeah. If Brother Charles tells me that, look, Reverend, I would give $5,000 towards the improvement of the church, I will believe it. Because he has integrity with me, because not only has he said it, he's done it many times. Do you understand? But if some of you say, I'll give you, I'm sorry, I'm being honest. If some of you say, I'll give you $10,000 for this, I haven't gotten to that integrity with you yet. Do you understand? So in the same way, as I have developed some integrity towards Brother Charles in those times, you need to also have that relationship that has some honesty and integrity, that when he says this, he means that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have faith. You have to get to the place that when you hear God say this, nothing else changes it. If God says it's black, listen, it doesn't matter if it's looking right. You see, if God says this carpet is black, I can't believe it. And I'll live my life and walk and do everything based on the fact that God says this carpet is black. It doesn't matter. It can look red till the end of the year. I don't care. God says it's black. Because I'm so sure that when God says it's black, it can be white or gray or blue or reddish looking. It will turn black. When? How? How will he do it? I don't know. And I don't care. I'm only basing it on the fact that he said it is black and it will be black. Are you understanding? Yeah. That is where God wants us to get to with the integrity of his word. You see, you will never even, some of us, we have not even developed a relationship where we know what God has said about something. Listen, God has said something about everything. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has said something about everything. There is nothing in your life that God has not said anything about. He said something about your finances. He said something about your wife. He said something about your husband. He said something about your children. He said something about your healing. He said something about your bank account. He said something about your deliverance. He said something about everything. You find out what he has said and develop integrity. Develop, imbibe his integrity, the integrity of God's word, the truth of God's word. Somebody is asking, how can you develop? It's a relationship. It's a relationship. The more you know somebody, the more you relate to somebody, the more you spend time with somebody, the more you hang around somebody, the more you see somebody keep what he has said, the more you trust the person. Amen. Yeah. There are some wives who trust their husband so much that if you came and you told the wife that, listen, I saw your husband with another girl sitting in his car, and the girl's foot was on your husband's dashboard. This is only girlfriends who put their foot on the man's dashboard. You don't see wives put their foot on the husband's dashboard. You know the dashboard? Yeah, I mean the driver's dashboard. You see, a husband who, or a wife who has a relationship based on integrity with a husband, you'd be surprised that you seem to be to be reporting and being a lapo. Do you understand the word lapo? Yeah, you'll be surprised that you'll be ashamed, because the wife will not believe you, because there's integrity in the relationship. Do you understand? Yeah, so okay. Yeah. I believe that by God, if you told my wife that I saw Reverend with somebody sitting in the car, she will say to you, so what? Yeah. You see, but there are some also that if they heard or saw, or somebody told them that I saw your husband in this car with somebody with the leg on the dashboard, oh, it would be a source of worry. And rightly so. Turn to your neighbor and say, rightly so. Because there's no integrity. God wants us to get to the place of integrity with his word. Get to the place where you believe his word. When he says something, he says what he says. He means what he says. What he says is what it is. Nothing else. Amen. That is one of the main pillars of faith. In fact, we can't go on to. Basically, we just did a revision of the first one. I was going to talk to you about pillar number two, and that is our redemption in Christ. All right? That's also a pillar. We'll leave that for next.